Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." So this begs the question, what is worship that is acceptable to God? Is all worship acceptable to God? Or are there some forms of worship that are acceptable and some that aren't? Is the holy sacrifice of the Mass on equal terms with, say, Protestant evangelical praise and worship centered around music and preaching? Is it as acceptable to go out to the woods and to be, quote, with God, as it is to go to church, as many claim? I think those guys just want to go hunting or fishing instead of going to church like they're supposed to. Is worship subjective, up to the individual, or objective, up to God as to how He wants to be worshiped? Is worship centered around us? Is it about us getting something out of it, us being entertained? Or is it about us giving to God that which is due Him? The scripture passage I just read makes it clear. It is about us giving to God His due, not us getting something or being entertained. Let's put it this way. Let's say it's God's birthday, and we are all invited, and God has given a clear list of what He wants us to give Him. Those who give the gifts off the list and go to the party dutifully will be pleasing to God. Those who give the gifts they want to give in spite of the list and or complain because the party was boring and they, quote, didn't get anything themselves would not be pleasing to God. So what is it then? How does God wish to be worshipped? Well, in the Old Testament, God lays out a very specific way to worship Him. It's liturgical, with a priesthood, an altar, and animal sacrifice. What changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament is the victim. That's it. The victim is now Jesus instead of animals. Christ was sacrificed on the cross, and His sacrifice on the cross is to be represented in the form of bread and wine, not grape juice, on the altar as an offer to God. This is called the Eucharist or Thanksgiving. It is not a new sacrifice. He is not to be sacrificed over and over again, but the one sacrifice on the cross is made present. The Catholic Church puts it this way in the Catechism starting at 1362. The Eucharist is the memorial of Christ's Passover, the making present and the sacramental offering of His unique sacrifice. When the Church celebrates the Eucharist, she commemorates Christ's Passover and it is made present. The sacrifice Christ offered once and for all on the cross remains ever present. In the Eucharist, Christ gives us the very body which He gave up for us on the cross, the very blood which He poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The Eucharist is thus a sacrifice because it represents or makes present the sacrifice of the cross because it is a memorial and because it applies its fruits. The sacrifice of Christ and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one single sacrifice. The victim is one and the same. The same now offers through the ministry of priests who then offer Himself on the cross, only the manner of offering is different. And since in this divine sacrifice, which is celebrated in the Mass, the same Christ who offered Himself once in a bloody manner on the altar of the cross is contained and offered in a unique, unbloody manner. And the Bible confirms this, Luke 22:19. And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And likewise the cup after supper, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in My blood." The old covenant was sacrificing animals. The new covenant is offering Christ in the form of bread and wine. The bread and wine become the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. We call this transubstantiation, or the real presence. Christ makes this abundantly clear in John chapter 6, starting verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall not hunger, and he who believes in Me shall not thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is My flesh. Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed." We know this is how the first Christians worshipped, Acts 2:22. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 20, verse 7, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." Corinthians chapter 11. Paul criticizes the Corinthians on how they practice this worship, starting verse 18. For in the first place, when you assemble as church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry and another is drunk. We can draw a few things here. Coming together as church means partaking in the Lord's Supper. It's wine and not grape juice. This is evident since some were getting drunk. Continuing verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? From this we can be sure the bread and wine are not mere symbols, but the actual body and blood of Christ. Otherwise, why would we be guilty of profaning the body of Christ if received in an unworthy manner? How can it make you sick or even die if it's just a symbol? If eating the bread and drinking the cup are a participation in the body and blood of Christ, it can't be a symbol. It is clear from the early church fathers that the early church worshipped in this manner and believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Justin Martyr, 155 AD, describes the worship of his time. Quote, on the day we call the day of the sun, all who dwell in the city or country gather in the same place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read as much time permits. When the reader is finished, he who presides over the gathering admonishes and challenges them to imitate these beautiful things. Then we rise together and offer prayers for ourselves and for all others, wherever they may be. When the prayers are concluded, we exchange the kiss. Then someone brings bread and a cup of water and wine mixed together to him who presides over the brethren. He takes them and offers praise and glory to the Father of the universe, through the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and for a considerable time he gives thanks for having been judged worthy of these gifts. When he has concluded the prayers and thanksgiving, all present give voice to an acclamation by saying Amen. When he who presides has given thanks and the people have responded, those we call deacons give to those present the Eucharized bread, wine, and water, and take them to those who are absent. This food we call the Eucharist, of which no one is allowed to partake except one who believes that the things we teach are true and has received the washing of forgiveness for sins and for rebirth, and who lives as Christ handed down to us, for we do not receive these things as common bread or common drink, but as Jesus Christ, our Savior, being incarnate by God's word, took flesh and blood for our salvation. So also we have been taught that the food consecrated by the word of prayer, which comes from him, from which our flesh and blood are nourished by transformation, is the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus. This describes to a T the worship in the Catholic Church to this day. The Didache, 70 AD. On the Lord's own day, assemble in common to break bread and offer thanks, but first confess your sins so that your sacrifice may be pure. Ignatius of Antioch, 110 AD. I have no taste for the food that perishes, nor for the pleasures of this life. I want the bread of God, which is the flesh of Christ, who was the seed of David. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is the love that cannot be destroyed. In his letter to the Romans, take care then, who belong to God and to Jesus Christ. They are with the bishop, and those who repent and come to the unity of the church, they too shall be with God, and will be living according to Jesus Christ. Do not err, my brethren, if anyone follows a schismatic. He will not inherit the kingdom of God. If any man walk with a strange doctrine, he cannot lie down with the passion. Take care, then, to use one Eucharist, so that whatever you do according to God. For there is one flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, and one cup in union with his blood, one altar, as there is one bishop, with the presbyter and my fellow servants, the deacons. Irenaeus, 180 AD. Christ has declared the cup, a part of creation, to be his own blood, from which he causes our blood to flow, and the bread, a part of creation, he has established as his own body, from which he gives increase to our bodies. Honestly, the number of quotes from the early church I could give are enormous. This isn't even the tip of the iceberg. What about language? Is there a preferred language? Well, consider this. The King of the Jews was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, then nailed to the cross. These three languages were literally nailed to the cross. These are the three holy languages. Catholic exorcists report that prayers in Latin are more effective than prayers in the common language. So let's review. We've learned that worship is giving to God, not getting something. So it doesn't matter if you aren't feeling it or didn't get anything out of it. We've learned God wants to be worshiped liturgically by offering the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross in the form of bread and wine, which becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And preferably in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. For the West, that means Latin. Does your church worship in this manner? My church does. But I will say this. Let's go back to the birthday party. Let's say someone goes to the party and they were unaware of the list God gave stating what he wanted. But they handmade a special gift out of love. When God received the gift, he saw how much love was put into this gift. That person may be more pleasing to God than all the others that gave him what he asked for, because they may not have put as much love into it. So we cannot judge. Until my next video, God bless.